to see your faces. Brother Doug, good to see you and Miss Amy. God bless you. Love you and appreciate you. And I want to ask your forgiveness for my situation. I preached last week in Salado, Texas for 3 nights. On Friday night, Joni and I left. And we left to go home. We got home about 1:30 in the morning, got up about 6:30. Started unpacking, go get our fifth wheel. Come to the river because I planned on being here for the whole meeting. I wanted to hear Brother Scott preach. I wanted to hear Brother Sam preach. I just wanted to get in on the meeting and get in on the spirit of it. But this pain started Friday before last, and then by last week the shingles started coming from my backbone around to here. And come Saturday it was getting real red and thick and whelpy. And Sunday morning we got up, had to go to emergency clinic, get some medicine. Monday was my worst night. I was in, you know, there's no, when you're going to be sick, you want to be at home, not in an RV. And I was on my knees laying over my couch, begging God for help. And, but I'd taken medicine Sunday, but taken medicine Monday, and yesterday it started drying up. And so today I started feeling much better. I do feel much better. It's there. But I want to ask you to forgive me, Russell, for not being able to be here in church. Please forgive me. I wanted to be here. My heart was here. I thought about you and prayed for you every night and every service. And we're just thrilled to be back. And I hope I'm able to keep up with the momentum that you're building. I really do. This year I celebrated 51 years of grace. Amen. God saved me. Amen. 51 years ago. This year. I was a 16-year-old young man, and what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Amen. Since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. The very next year, I surrendered to preach, and I celebrated 50 years in the ministry this year. I surrendered to preach when I was 17. I'm 67. I'll be 68 in a couple of months. My precious wife travels with me. We're happy as though we had sense. We're happy. Glad to be doing what the Lord has called us to do. And I've missed church for these last few nights. It's good to see Brother Andy and his wife Rachel. I'm sorry she's lost her voice due to sinuses. And I know she loves to sing the book of 2 Timothy tonight. I rejoice in the Lord with you for what you've seen. The two souls that have been saved. The altar's full every night. May the Lord grant us the preciousness of His presence in these services this evening. Now, I'm going to take this coat off. And these suspenders have been popping on me. Now, if that happens tonight, don't let it bother you. I'm just going to release them and let them go. I hope my pants stay up. In order that you don't get a good look at shingles, believe me. I always thought that was what you put on the roof. I didn't know it went other places. The book of 2 Timothy, this is what is on my heart tonight. I want to begin reading in the third chapter. And I want to read from verse number 14 down into the fourth chapter. Now, there's a chapter break there, but there's no contextual break. In verse 1, you see the word therefore. The word therefore is connecting the previous verses to the following verses. So in context, we're going to cover verse 14 all the way down to verse number 8 in chapter 4. Chapter 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Of course, he's talking about his grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice. He's also talking about Paul's own discipling of this young preacher. And he said, and that from a child thou hast known the what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture. I did a word study on that word all. It means all. All Scripture is given by inspiration, God breathed of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that's mature, thoroughly furnished, complete, unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, that is, those who have been resurrected, and those who are lost, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. Now, when Paul wrote this, the time had not yet arrived. Tonight, as I read it, I want to say the time has come. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul makes some astounding statements, doesn't he? And this is one of those statements that overwhelms me. Because essentially what Paul's saying is, I've done everything that he has asked me to do. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Father, we thank you for your word, the inspired word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the writing of these words from the pen of the Apostle Paul, from the heart of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you would help me tonight. Give me ability. Give me the mind, the thoughts, and the words to rightly divide this portion of Scripture. I pray, Father, for unction and power from up on high. I can do nothing without you. I need you tonight, Father, and I pray that as we preach the Word of God, that it'll be the Word of God anointed by the Holy Spirit. It will reach into every heart and do the work that needs to be done. Grant us revival. Our nation is in trouble tonight, dear God. Father, we're rolling down a steep slope. God, the only thing that can stem the tide is not another party, not another president, and not another politician. If judgment must begin, let it begin at the house of the Lord. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. God, we pray, Father, tonight that you would send a great revival upon our souls. We'll be careful to give you all the thanks and all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen and amen. It is evident here that Paul is now a prisoner on death row. Paul's death is looming. It is hanging over his head. And the shadow of the one who is to take his head can be seen. It's evident, dearly beloved, that Paul is about to leave this earth. He tells young Timothy, he says, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go tonight? If you're saved tonight, you ought to be ready to go. And we never know when that's going to be. And because of that, he says in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Paul's about to die. He wants to see Timothy. And the reason why is knowing that he's dying, Paul is wanting to pass the baton off. Paul is wanting to hand the ministry that God has given him to this young preacher. And he does so when he says, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work that I have been doing. To that end, dearly beloved, Paul is encouraging this young preacher. He is charging this young preacher with a great responsibility. The thought that is on my heart tonight and what we want to approach is this idea of staying with the stuff. Staying with the stuff. Notice what he says here in verse number 14. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You know, I've been at this for 50 years now. I've not always been at my best, and I've faltered and failed. But I think I'll just go with God. I see, dearly beloved, the finish line not far from now. And I believe, dearly beloved, tonight what I want to do is just stay with the stuff. I want to keep preaching the blood and the book and the blessed hope of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To that end, dearly beloved, Paul gives this young preacher four motivating factors to stay with the stuff. This is how I want to approach this text tonight, and I trust that it'll feed our souls with manna from heaven. I want to say, first of all, in order to encourage this young preacher to stay with the stuff, there is a charge that is given. There is a charge that is given. Look at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God. There is a charge that is given. But I want to say number two, dearly beloved, to motivate this preacher to stay with the stuff, there is a change that is coming. There is a change that is coming. We see that in verse number 3. Paul said that things are going to change. And you know what, Timothy? The church is going to need a preacher. The church is going to need a teacher. The church is going to need a man of God to stay faithful to this book and to lead the people of God down the paths of holy writ. But not only is there a charge that is given and a change that is coming, but there is a challenge that is issued. We see that here in verse number 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. But last but not least, there is a commendation that is waiting. I love verse number 8 where he says, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. There it is right there, Timothy. Stay with the stuff. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get distracted. I see that in a lot of churches today. I see that in much of Christianity today. But I pray for God's grace to help me with all the distractions and with all the temptations to stay with the stuff, amen? To stay with the Bible, and I love the old King James. To stay with the church, amen? To stay with the songs of Zion. To stay with the people of God. To stay with the stuff. And tonight, dearly beloved, I want to follow this path that I have given you, and I trust that it'll motivate us all to do so.
I want to say, first of all, Paul is telling young Timothy to stay with the stuff, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned because of a charge that is given. Notice this. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This word charge brings to mind two things. You know what he's saying? He's saying, number one, Timothy, God is going to hold you responsible. God is putting this responsibility in your hand. And I just want to say, dearly beloved, to preach the Bible and to preach the Word of God is the greatest responsibility that can be given a man. The Apostle Paul himself said, a dispensation of the gospel has been committed unto me. And he says, Timothy, God is holding you responsible. But not only is God holding this young man responsible, he's going to hold him accountable. Look what he says, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Timothy, I'm charging you. Before God, I'm giving you this responsibility. And I want you to know that one day you're going to give an account to God about it. Need we be reminded tonight. The Paul told the church at Corinth, so then, all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in our body, whether good or bad. All of us have been entrusted with the responsibility of the gospel, with the responsibility of following His commands. Know this, my friends, tonight, one day, you and I are going to give an account to God. But what is this charge that Timothy is responsible for and will be accountable to? And here it is right here. Preach the word. Look at verse number 2. Preach the word. That is his responsibility, and that's what he's going to be accountable for. And can I say tonight, dearly beloved, that is the heart and the soul of ministry. I love you, Christian school, but that's not the heart of ministry. I love the fellowships and the activities, but that's not the heart of ministry. The heart of ministry is the preaching of this book. The most important room in this church is not your gymnasium. It's not your schoolhouse nor your fellowship hall. The most important room in this church is your auditorium. And the most important piece of furniture you have is this pulpit right here. The heartbeat of the church is the preaching of the Word of God. The heartbeat of ministry is the preaching and the teaching of this blessed old book, the Word of the Living God. I want to say, first of all, it is, dearly beloved, the illuminative word. It is the illuminative word. Look what it says down here in chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. And look at this, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. There's a day when I was dead in my sin. There was a day when I was blind in the darkness of sin. But thank God the preaching of the word and the light of the gospel shone into my soul. It opened my eyes. It illuminated me as to my lost condition. It brought me to repentance. It led me see Christ as my only answer, my only chance. And I'm grateful tonight for the illuminative power of the Word of God. Amen. But it not only has illuminative power, it has inspirational power. I like what it says in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration. I love Simon Peter's explanation of that. He said, our prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That word moved literally means to be picked up and carried along. Man did not write this book. God wrote this book. And what Peter is saying, friend, is God literally picked them up. That word moved means he carried them. And he breathed his word into their ear and into their heart. And then he went on to say, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And here in chapter 3 in verse 16, he says that all scripture is given by inspiration. I believe in the plenary inspiration of scripture. That is, the thoughts are inspired. I believe in the verbal inspiration of scripture. That is, the words are inspired. Jesus himself said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words abide forever. Jesus himself said, not one jot, not one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all of it be fulfilled. I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Preach the word, Timothy. Preach the illuminating word. Preach the inspiring word. And preach the instructing word. I love what he goes on to say. It's profitable. Verse 16, for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is the instructing word. Amen. It will correct you. Look what he says there. He says very clearly, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. But not only will it correct you, it will instruct you. It'll teach you. It'll teach you the way in which you are to walk. It'll teach you more about him. It'll teach you more about yourself. But I want you to know, friend, it's also the perfecting word. It'll cut away anything and everything that doesn't look like Jesus and like heavenly sandpaper. It'll rub off the rough edges of your life and create a person that looks more like Jesus Christ. Just like those suspenders. There's a charge that is given. Stay with the stuff, Timothy. In days when men are changing the book. In days when they're telling stories from the pulpit. In days when they're forsaking preaching for program. Stay with the stuff, Timothy, and I charge you to preach the word. I've asked God to help me do one thing in my latter years, and that's to stay with the book. Keep studying it. Keep rightly dividing it and preaching it as it is to men and women as they are. I want to say, first of all, it needs to be preached with authority. Look what it says here. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering of doctrine. It needs to be preached with authority. We don't need to apologize for it. We don't need to try to water it down. We don't need to try to make it palatable to the taste of men. We don't need to back off so nobody will get offended. A lot of people can't get right till they do get offended. A sinner can't get saved till he does get offended. It's offensive to be told you're a sinner. It's offensive to be told you can't get yourself to heaven. But brother, when that authoritative word is preached, it reminds us of Jesus, because he spoke as one that had authority and not as the Pharisees and the scribes. Not only needs to be preached with authority, it needs to be preached with regularity. I love what he says here. Be instant, in season, out of season. When you feel like it and when you don't. When you have shingles and when you don't. Be instant, in season, out of season. Whether people want to hear it or they don't want to hear it. Be instant. Preach this book. Brother Ed McAbee used to say, if you're a preacher, I ought to be able to wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and stand you in the corner and slap you on both sides of your face and holler, preach. And you commence to preaching. Preach it with regularity. A charge. Stay with the stuff, Timothy. I charge you. God is holding you responsible. And God will hold you accountable. Don't back off from it. Don't let fear and the fear of men grip you. You preach it with authority. And you preach it with regularity. But not only does he mention a charge that is given, but he mentions a change that is coming. Look what he says in verse 2, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure Bible preaching anymore. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Paul is telling this young preacher a change is coming. And as I said just a few moments ago, dearly beloved, that change is here. I believe we're living in the last days. I believe we're living in the days that's going to hear the sound of the trumpet and see the face of the Savior. I believe very well, dearly beloved, we're living in the generation that is going to behold the coming of the Lord. I believe we're living in the days of apostasy. I believe, dearly beloved, the church is apostatizing. And more we're getting away from the Word of God and losing that hunger and thirst. More and more, dearly beloved, we're trying to change things and water things down just for the cause of a number or building a number of people. No, sir, the only thing that builds people is this old blessed black book right here. The only thing that will build people up in the most holy faith is the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. But Paul told young Timothy, the day is going to come when that is going to change. And the first thing he says here, dearly beloved, is that people will try to change the Word. They will try to change the Word. The Bible says, here they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. You and I are living in that day, dearly beloved, where sound doctrine in many churches, even Baptist churches across the landscape of this nation, is no longer tolerated nor appreciated. Churches, dearly beloved, are being watered down. They're losing their power. They're losing their testimony because we've tried to change the Word of God and take away the sting that this book holds for the souls of men. And God help us tonight. I'll tell you what, dearly beloved, I'm concerned about the church this evening. I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned about some of the things that I see going on in the church and some of the things that we're embracing that we never would have embraced years ago. I'm not living in the past, nor am I trying to live in the past. But I'm here to tell you, this book does not change, dearly beloved, and changing this book does not help the church. They will try to change the Word of God. Oh, my friends, tonight, I think of sound doctrine. I think of the things that are going on in churches today, preachers and pastors and people beginning to doubt the virgin birth, beginning to doubt the Genesis account of creation, beginning to doubt, my friend, in the sufficiency of Christ's shed blood for salvation, the salvation of a soul. I think of some of the things that have crept into the church morally. I think of some of the things that have crept into the church doctrinally, and it hurts my heart tonight, dearly beloved, because we're losing our power in our churches. We're losing, my friend, that power of the Word of God and that respect for the Bible that is able to make men wise unto salvation. But not only will they change the word of God, but they'll begin to change their walk with God. Warren Wiersbe says this, belief determines behavior. What we believe will determine the way that we live. And he says very clearly right here, he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Philosophy being preached from our pulpits. Psychology being preached from our pulpits. I want you to know, my friend, I believe the Bible still works. Amen. I believe the preaching of the Word of God is still the only thing that draws a sinner to Christ. I believe the preaching of the Word of God is still the only thing that grows a saint in the grace of God. Timothy, stay with the stuff. There's a charge that is given. There's a change that is coming. But not only will people change, but preachers will change. Look what he says here in verse 3, and they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They'll have an itch and they're going to look for somebody to scratch it. They'll want it a certain way and they're going to look for somebody that will tell it a certain way. I think it's interesting here that he uses the word teachers, because I want you to know there's a difference between a preacher and a teacher. A preacher, good preaching will always contain good teaching. But good teaching doesn't always contain good preaching. Teaching is informative. It's a collection of the facts. Preaching is inspirational. Preaching is trying to drive home one point. When a preacher is preaching, he's driving that point home. And everything he says comes back to that point. And at the end of it, dearly beloved, he's crying out for a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What are you going to do with what you've heard? But he said in those days, when things begin to change, they're not going to be looking for preachers. They're going to be looking for teachers having itching ears, somebody that will tell them what they want to hear. And you know the sad thing is a man of God can get up and preach the word and preach it as it is, and if people don't want to hear it that way, they don't have to go too far down the road to find somebody to tell them the way they want to hear it. That is a sad, sad epitaph in the church. But I want to say, thirdly, tonight, there is a challenge that is issued. Stay with the stuff, Timothy. I charge you. There's a change that is coming, but there's a challenge that is issued. And notice what he says here in verse 5. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Here's what he's saying, Timothy. Be a watcher. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Timothy, keep your eyes open. Be a watcher. Oh, my friend, that's the way we need to live our Christian lives. We need to be aware of what's going on around us, the false doctrine that's being preached, the paths that are being taken. And we need to be aware so we can make our people aware and point the right direction for them. Be a watcher, Timothy. But not only be a watcher, be a warrior. He said, endure afflictions. Brother Roloff used to sing it, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to and run if you will, but I came here to stay, amen. Be a warrior, Timothy. Oh, keep on the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, Timothy, be a warrior. You're in a battle. It's not time to rest. It's not time to take off, but stay engaged in the battle. Weapon in hand, armor on, fighting the good fight of faith. He just got done telling, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my race. I'll tell you something else he told him. Be a worker, Timothy. Amen. Do the work of an evangelist. And I'm going to tell you something, the ministry's work. The ministry's work. Why, even as a preacher, if we do our work right, you know what Peter told those Grecian widows when some came and complained about the church there in Acts? He told them, he said, you choose 7 men of honest, just, and good report, full of the Holy Ghost, turn them over to this business that we might give ourselves to the study of the Word of God and prayer. Be a worker. Work and labor in the Word. Study the Word. Read the Word. Memorize the Word. Preach the Word. Minister the Word. But not only that, my friend, it's work for all of us. Visiting people, talking to people, trying to pass out tracts and get people to come to church and come to the house of God. Be a worker, Timothy. O land of rest for thee, I sigh. When will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and rest with thee at home? We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. I'm glad tonight to be in the work of the Lord. But not only be a watcher, not only be a warrior, not only be a worker, but be a winner. I love what he says here. He says very clearly, make full proof of thy ministry. You know what he's saying? Finish it, Timothy. Go across that finish line. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Be a winner, Timothy. We don't win when we come in first place nor second place. We win when we finish the race. Amen. We win when we come across that finish line. And just to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Timothy, stay with the stuff. Stay with the stuff. I got saved as a 16-year-old man. I was raised in the home of a man of God who taught me the Word of God. I got saved, and then the Lord called me to preach. I started out in this book, and I'm going to tell you something. I want to finish with this book. Amen. I started out in the church, and I want to finish in the church. I started out, my friend, trying to reach people with the gospel, and I want to finish trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then Paul motivates this young preacher by telling there is a commendation that is waiting. For therein is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And you know who that crown of righteousness is for? It's for finishers. It's for finishers, which the Lord shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Amen. I was thinking of Brother Roloff in another song that he used to sing. I think of Brother Roloff quite often. And I remember another song he used to sing about reward. I wish I could remember the words right now, even as I'm preaching, but I can't. They escape me. Let me just give you this, and we'll be done tonight. That is, he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. I want to say, first of all, this is a sure crown. It is a sure commendation for those who finished. There are no less than 5 New Testament awards for New Testament believers, and this is one of them. And for those that finish, dearly beloved, when you get to heaven, there's going to be a reward waiting on you, and it's going to be the crown of righteousness. And that tells us that not only is it a sure reward,
but it is a specific reward. You know, we're coming down to the end of this thing, folk. I really believe it with all my heart. I want to go wrong. I want to cross the finish line well, but we're coming down to the end of this thing. When I see what's going on in this world about us, when I see the way that this world is changing and heading toward a one world government, when I see, dearly beloved, the church changing as well and struggling the way it is, I listen to the words of Paul, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Stay with the stuff. This isn't just for preachers. This is for all of us tonight. Stay with the stuff. Stay with the Lord Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him. Stay with this book right here. Stay with the church. Stay with God's people. Stay with the stuff. And let's finish well. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet just for a few moments tonight before we're dismissed. I appreciate your attention this evening. I appreciate you being here tonight. I appreciate what all the Lord has been doing this week. And I trust that He'll do a great work in every one of our hearts this evening as we gather in His presence tonight. I just want to ask a couple of questions while the musicians come. Number one, I want to ask you this. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure where you're going? Are you ready, dearly beloved, to bow your head in death? Are you ready to breathe your last breath? Do you know your name is written in the book of life? Do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, your personal Savior? If you don't, I want you to know He loves you tonight. And I want you to know He'll save you if you'll just come to Him as you are. And I want to say to the rest of us tonight, to those of us who are saved tonight, the temptations, the draws, and the distractions are all around us. And you and I live in a day, dearly beloved, where, as Paul said, many are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You and I are living in a day when there are those Demases that have forsaken us, having loved this present world. We live in a day, dearly beloved, where many who once seemed so committed and so faithful have wandered off and wandered away. And I want to encourage you in these last days, I want to encourage you to stay with the stuff. Amen. Stay with the stuff. Keep preaching the word. You may not be a preacher, but stand on the book. Live by the book. I want to encourage you, my friend, that changes are coming. But don't get caught up in the changes. Don't get caught up in the distractions. I want to encourage you to be a warrior. Be a watcher. Be a worker. And be a winner for the glory of God. Because one day you'll be glad you did. When it's all over and said and done, we'll stand before the Master. I'm going to tell you tonight, I don't want to lose my reward. I don't want my works to be like wood, hay, and stubble. I want them to be like gold and silver and precious stone, that in which He'll fashion a reward for me that I can cast at His feet again. To God be the glory. Bless His holy name. Let us all stay with the stuff in these days. Father, bless your word tonight. Touch every heart. Have your will and have your way. Have thine own way tonight, God. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and thanks, for indeed you're worthy. We love you tonight, Lord, and thank you for the love you've given us. We ask it all in Jesus' sweet and precious name.